The archaic beliefs of the Christians are marginalizing and discriminating against these fine people here. But you can't find anywhere in the Bible they call black folks sinners. You can't find anywhere that being black was an abomination. Find it in the Bible, it's not there. You're not standing against us as Christians. You're standing against the Word of God and His dictates. And you got to answer to God for trying to change the Word of God. Homosexuality is a demon that you have to war against and overcome. It's a strong world ruling demon. It's not some Mickey Mouse clown. A homosexual demon has, Godzilla has nothing on that thing. It's big, it's ugly, and it's vicious. And it will fight for every fiber of your life. It's one of the major demons that can actually change outward character. Notice how a homosexual demon can change you and metamorphosize you outwardly and change you into something that's nothing like what gender you are. Change the woman into a hard woman with a crew cut. She'll grow a beard. She'll take on all the manifestations of a hard man. I've seen thug life looking women that I thought was a guy. The only giveaway is you can see that little bit of silhouette of breasts. Other than that, that's a dude smoking a cigar with a backwards cap on, pants draped down with their drawers hanging out the back, and hanging with a bunch of guys and looking at the women. Now, hey, girl, hey, come here. And it's a woman. It'll feminize a guy. He'll act just like a flighty woman, not just a normal woman. Notice how everything about that spirit is very, very animated. See, it doesn't even look like a normal woman. It's overly animated. And FX, the E Network, all these different, you know, reality networks, they got these homosexuals, flaming homosexuals, et cetera, putting on one show after another, teaching women how to dress, teaching you how to design your home, teaching you how to hold your wedding. They're wedding directors for the women. They know more about how you should dress, how you should be, how you should put your fashion together, how to design your wedding than you do as a woman. And the women go to the homosexuals for advice. Now that's crazy. But these spirits, when they take over an environment, they begin to metamorphosize the environment because they want to live in it. So therefore, if it's not comfortable to me, the environment must be what? It must be changed to accommodate me. I'm not going to come out of the closet until I feel like the environment will accommodate me. So Don Lemon remained quiet on CNN until the environment accommodated him. Anderson Cooper remained silent until the environment accommodated him. Beautiful stars like Megan Fox wouldn't say they were bisexual until the environment accommodated them. Beautiful girls. But everybody's now feeling like, hey, we got leverage. We got the upper hand. Now we can come out. And the demons are metamorphosizing the environment to accommodate themselves so that the human that is the host for the demon won't feel funny, won't feel ostracized as they matriculate through the environment. I feel all right about being me. I'm just doing me. Everybody's tolerant now. Diversity is accepted. The LGBT network is on every college campus. Every college campus has a newspaper. Everybody's coming out. Lady Gaga, who came out as bisexual, born this way. It goes on and on. And we're sitting here looking at it. And notice how most Christians remain strangely silent. Have you noticed that? while all these pulpits remain strangely silent. Guys got one show after another on TBN, the Word Network. Here you are preaching on prosperity and foolishness with an invading army coming down the street to destroy everything in sight, and you remain strangely silent. Man, it's going to be a rare thing to find a Christian from here on out that stands on the Word of God and will not bow to the dictates of the beast. Look at Nahum chapter 3. Nahum chapter 3. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of what?
Lies.
Lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. Now, who are the prey? We are. We are the prey. We are the prey. We've been preyed upon by vicious animals. How? You ever tried to buy a house, a car, anything that costs something? The interest is here to kill you, enslave you. The borrower is still the slave of the lender, the Bible says. Man has been made into a prey. 98 cent a gallon gas is almost $4. You know, man, the oil fields are just shut down full of oil to keep the price of the gas high. Because the oil companies won't make big profits if we lower the price of the oil. There's no real rush to actually heal disease. Why? Pharmaceutical companies and the medical cartel won't make money off of you if everybody is well. That's why I didn't like Jesus. Jesus did what? He healed the sick. We got to, you know what, we got to kill him. Why, Doc? I just bought this $800,000 house. I got a brand new Mercedes. And I'm thinking about buying a helicopter. And this joker done started healing the sick. Take this Israelite out and crucify him. Can't you see that healing the sick is going to be the game changer? I know it is, because there's so much money in the pharmaceutical industry and there's so much money made from medicine. You been to the doctor lately? I mean, your insurance company will send you, you know, a price or a bill for what happened. You good if you had insurance, because that $1,500, they took the brunt of it and left you to pay $200. But you figured I was just there for like 5 minutes. The guy just looked at my arm, gave me two pills, and told me to go. Gave me an X-ray and said, hey, look, you know, just massage your arm every morning, and gave me some pills, and that was it. But see, if you got insurance. But see, insurance is big business too. They all massage each other. Because it's coming out of your check, the insurance. But guess what? The insurance don't mind paying the medical claim, because in the bigger picture, the medical claims will be small compared to all the insurance money we get in from everybody. So a few of y'all might get something real serious, but we got the money coming in because we invest the money and we pay for that with our investments. So, you know, the claims we get, just like car insurance. You might say, they told out my car, man. The insurance company ain't going to like this. It don't matter that much. That minuscule amount of your car, that $30,000 your car costs, they got that back in a couple of hours on the stock exchange with an investment. The key is getting your money up front to invest it. You see what I'm, you see how we, it's all game. They don't like me saying this. I don't care if they don't like it. We're prey. Lies and robbery. We live in a world and in a nation of larceny. It's high level larceny. Who can get the money transferred to themselves? That's the successful one. Even if they bring nothing of value to the marketplace. See, when you got a demonically infested world and people, the devil knows their appetites will drive them, even if there's no value to what they're getting. For instance, you got Beyonce and Jay-Z on a summertime tour of stadiums. You get nothing from that. You know how much the tickets cost? You're talking $200 to $1,000. Wow. And the $200 tickets are the nosebleeds. And when you sold out, the scalper out front holding up four tickets. I got tickets. Woohoo! Over here, tickets. Man, I'm so glad I can get in. He got tickets. How much is that ticket? $5,000. But you'll be amazed at the money in this country. That somebody will break off $5,000, be like breaking off 25 cents. You got money in the United States that will blow your mind. Athletes, sports figures, entertainers, $5,000. You might have to, that is a roll of toilet tissue in their bathroom. It's a joke. Everything is a joke. There's no value to go and see Beyonce and Jay-Z. They add nothing to you. They do nothing for you. It's just stupid. Las Vegas is stupid. Concerts are stupid. Sports, for the most part, are just stupid. The money you pay for it, you know what I'm saying? See, folks change up around sports. A guy that won't do anything for God will be all into sports. He'll put thousands of dollars into sports, but won't give a dime to the gospel while claiming to be a Christian. I'll tell you something that's funny. I sit here, or Thomas sit here, or whoever's teaching will sit here for 2 hours or 3 hours, let's say, on Sunday, teaching a message. You know, this is too long. You know how long a football game lasts on TV? About 3 hours, 3.5 hours. That same guy who will say, this message is too long, will watch the 1 o'clock game on Sunday, watch the 4 o'clock game on the afternoon, and he'll eat dinner, and his wife will say, well, let's run over to mother's house. We wanna, no, man, it's an 8 o'clock game tonight. Sunday night football. Then you say, well, tomorrow night we'll, no, Monday night football. Well, okay, I'll pull off, let's just go Thursday. No. College football is on Thursday, and I think on the NFL Network, they got a Thursday night game too. Football, especially in the Deep South, is a religion. It's a religion. See, guys, I'm going to tell you what stimulates a guy about football. It's not just the game, it's talking about it. Football is like playing chess. All sports is like playing chess to a guy. So he likes to talk about it. He likes to talk about how to make it work, how to put the team together, who we should trade for. LeBron has opted out of his contract. So did Wade. So did Bosch. They're trying to get the Miami Heat to reformat the team. You know, LeBron could go back to Cleveland. Man, what if LeBron and Carmelo came to Atlanta? You'd have a big three in Atlanta. The Horford, LeBron, and Carmelo. Man, I'm going to have to get my tickets tonight for that. You couldn't get downtown if you brought them three guys up in here. You see, it's a mental thing that is demonically inspired. I mentioned it. If sports is your God, you're immediately offended. While the gospel does what? Languishes on the vine. The devil has to entertain you because he has nothing else to offer you. Guess what he does not have? What is he not privy to that you need? Huh? Eternal life. He has to always stimulate temporal life because he doesn't have eternal life. So he's got to always captivate you and have you emotionally stirred as a replacement for and to eternal life. It's artificial life, artificial stimuli, attempting to displace and replace eternal life. That's why he's always billowing and always got something going on. He does not have the keys to eternal life. And when you got eternal life, all other life becomes secondary. That means spiritual life is on the front burner, soulish life is piggybacking, and physical life is third on your hierarchy. You're not caught up in all the stuff that pertains to physical life and soulish life because you have eternal life. You know you'll never die. It doesn't matter if I leave here and I'm taken out of this incarnation, if I'm removed from the carnal body, because I got eternal life. So I'm not really wrapped up in this, because I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Yes. I'm looking for another life. I'm living to live again. Yes. So the devil can't do anything about you because I'm not interested in your temporary life. But people who are totally ingrained and engaged in temporary life won't like you and won't like this message, because the only life they have is temporary life. That's the anchor for them. That's what they're caught up in. That's what they love. Temporary life. They love it. They're enthralled by it and with it. So people who have the eternal life as their calling card, you're foreign to them. You're strange. And especially in church. You know what they'll start talking about? How it doesn't take all of that. And we also have to learn how to deal with the basics of everyday living. And you make everything spiritual. Everything is so spiritual to you people. I bring in some basic concept pertaining to life, and you have to spiritualize that too. I mean, I'm so sick of you spiritual talking people. Well, hold it. Wait a minute. I thought you were born again. I thought that you walked in the spirit not to fulfill the lust of your flesh. I thought you believed that to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. Why are you attacking spiritual things when you're supposed to be spiritual yourself? Look at this. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lift up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Now this is woe to the city, now the bloody city, when everything is being destroyed. Look at verse 4, zero in on it. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that sails nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Was that the harlot church? What's providing the people for the devil's kingdom? The churches. You got to know that. You got to know that. The church is the very foundation of the devil's kingdom. They provide the people to finance the devil's work. You got to know that. You keep a person soulish, you keep them ingrained in temporary life, they'll be a slave on the devil's plantation forever. Ingrained in temporary life, hating the Holy Ghost baptism. Did you not know there is a segment of society that despises the Holy Ghost baptism? That's why John MacArthur tells you talking in tongues is of the devil. He's in a dangerous place, man. Acts is full of people talking in tongues when the Holy Ghost came upon them. It went out with the apostle. Which one? Which one? Acts 19, the Holy Ghost fell on people who were not apostles. They talked in tongues. Well, the gifts went out with the apostles. Stephen and Philip the evangelist had gifts. That's impossible. Stephen was a deacon and Philip was an evangelist. So it couldn't have gone out with the apostles because they had the gifts of the Spirit operating. You can't prove what you're saying from this Bible. You know why? Because you're lying. That's right. You're lying because the Holy Ghost embarrasses you because you don't have him. You don't understand the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. You have no revelation from the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is offensive, and you do despite to the Spirit of grace. And Jesus said you can be forgiven of every sin except for the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. All because you say, I cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub. These guys are in dangerous territory, buddy. Dangerous. And folk that sign off on them and try to follow them, you are in dangerous territory. Because you empower that spirit that's trying to come against the mighty Holy Ghost. You'd be better off taking a millstone and throwing yourself out into the sea, because you're standing in way of the liberation of God's little ones. So you try to deter one of these little ones away from me? You'd be better off just wrapping a cement block around your head and diving into the Atlantic Ocean, is what he's saying. So you see now, we're dealing with possession. You see, these are the ramifications of a nation and a region that's possessed, evil and wicked. When you get wickedness and evil saturating an environment, that's the telltale sign that demons are infesting that environment. Happened in the days of Noah, happened in the days of Lot. You walk into a nasty home, demons live there. Unclean spirits. Folks stink and don't take a bath, they're full of demons. Demons live in unclean environments. You won't even like to take a bath if you're full of demons. You get used to the stink because the demons live in squalor and filth and degeneration and degradation. Demons are easy to track. They are unclean spirits. That's why you get a beautiful girl cursing like a dog, dropping F-bombs left and right, and she's looking like a China doll. You're saying, how is that pretty girl cursing like that? You look at the outside of the person. The Bible says God doesn't look at the outside. He's looking at the heart. Out of the heart flows what? Evil thoughts, fornications, adulteries, and profane words. Out of the mouth, the heart will speak. The heart is reflected by your tongue. You see a cursing, nasty talking person? Demonic infestation. Infested with unclean spirits, because unclean spirits say unclean words. You can kid yourself all you want to about being saved, and I just can't stop cursing. You're full of the devil and you need to get free. Luke 21. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Luke 21. Let's take a look at verse 16. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brothers and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And this is the end time scenario. Don't kid yourself. Don't try to imagine it to be some other way. Parents and brothers, your relatives, people who you call friends, will betray you. Now think about this. Who are they going to betray you to? What's the environment going to be like that they can hand you in to somebody? The prototype of the end time can be found in Nazi Germany in 1939 and following. The rise of Hitler to power. Have you ever seen the movie The Hiding Place? That's the environment we'll be living in. Christians will be marginalized and seen as the enemies of the state. Turned over to the state by false religion. The Pope is already rising up. You see, he invited Joel Osteen over the other day. Man, this thing here is coming together like clockwork. That's why these guys don't say anything about anything, because they're part of the religious powers that hate Jesus Christ and the church while claiming to represent Jesus Christ and the church. But the real church, the Bible says you don't even come with observation, for the kingdom is within you. You can't see the real church. It's inside of people. I told you it's a conquest of what? Inner space. Those that divest themselves of the demons and mortify the flesh and get full of the Holy Ghost, that's the only church that there is on planet Earth. Not data carriers, not information experts, not seminary graduates. Nobody makes up the church except that which the Holy Spirit fills. You can kid yourself all you want about being saved and in the church. If the Holy Ghost will come on Dana, why won't the Holy Ghost come on Omar? That's crazy. If I'm born again like you, why did he baptize and fill you and not me? I would be worried about that. I would be concerned about that if it was me.
She met the conditions.
You talk about a rapture, the only one lifting out of here is where the Holy Ghost is filled. You got the Holy Ghost, you can stop talking rapture, because the only one that's going to lift out of here is folk appended to the Holy Ghost and filled with him. Folks are going to kid themselves and fantasize and be on Facebook posting, and the church will be gone. They started talking about some junk they thinking up on Facebook, and the Holy Ghost are lifted up out of here. And you left down here to receive the mark of the beast. Half crazy. I don't believe it's going to be a rapture. Well, okay. That's good. If you, according to your faith, be it done unto you. The Bible doesn't use the word rapture. I haven't read it in the Bible. I know the Bible used the word catching away. Raptuo, which where they get the word rapture from. It means a quick, sudden grab for something. He's going to reach down from heaven and grab you out. One will be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two laying again in the bed, one taken, the other left. See, you're going to be down here totally caught off guard if you got flesh and you still trying to be slick. Still got that stinking flesh, full of the devil, demonized, thinking I'm saved. You can kid yourself all along the trail and just be a hypocrite. And God knows them that are his. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Not for just any reason. Because you identify with me, Jesus Christ, you will be hated by all men. What's the atmosphere like? It's demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. The demons hate Christ. They reflect that hatred through a human because the human is filled with the demon. The demon is in covenant with the human, and how the demon feels about Christ, the person will feel about Christ. And they'll hate the true body of Christ. You will be hated of all men because you are identified with me, Jesus is saying. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. Hold, you just told me I was going to be put to death and not a hair of my head is perishing. Wait a minute, Jesus, that doesn't make sense. How am I going to be killed but not a hair of my head is perishing? He talks to the inner you, the spirit, not the physical. Don't have nothing to do with the physical. They can butcher the physical. Makes no difference to God. He's after the inner man. That's why you must conquer inner space. In your patience, do what?
Possess your souls.
Now we get to the very, very essence of what we're talking about. What part of the human can be possessed? It's the soul. It says, in your patience, take back your soul. Conquer your soul. Conquer inner space. Take your soul back from the thing that captivated you. This is a rescue mission. Yes. The soul is the environment we're talking about. Okay, what is the soul? Let's examine the soul for a minute. Let's step back for a minute and examine what the soul is. The soul is supposed to be the vehicle of expression for your spirit. You're an individual with no other outward parameters affecting you. Your soul should reflect your spirit. It's an expression of your spirit. So if you feel something, your soul will express it. If you think something, your soul will express it. So the soul is a vehicle of expression. Why do demons want your soul?
To express themselves.
I want to express myself. Remember the old song back in the 60s? Express yourself. If you feel good, do it. You know, and all, look, they don't have embodiment to express themselves. They want to feel some sex, but I don't have sexual organs. So guess what? I got to take yours. I need yours so I can feel it. I want to feel the pleasure of having sex, but I got no sexual organs. So I'll just hijack yours. These are disembodied spirits seeking incarnation. I need to be put in a body to feel what I'm trying to feel, to do what I'm trying to do, to say what I'm trying to say. You know, you would be amazed at how many times you talk to demons all day, in a day's time. You'd be amazed how many times you talk to demons. It would probably blow your mind if you knew that that person standing in front of you is not the human talking to you. Especially if you're working in any kind of government office, you know. You know, they come in there looking for stuff and they just telling you all this stuff and just lying and, you know, are you on Section 8? Yes. Does your boyfriend live with you? Oh, no, no, I ain't seen him in 6 months. He drove her over there. See, demons, when they get all wrapped up in the environment, they start lying, they start acting crazy. You can tell them your kid when they change character. Say, man, you letting those demons control your crazy mind again. Why? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You've been talking to a demon-possessed person. Now you've taken on the attitude and character traits of the demon-possessed person, and now you're talking just like the demon that you just talked to on the phone. Get your own identity. But you can't get your own identity void of being born again. Your identity is found in Christ. In Him we live, we move, and have our being, our existence. You become a human being in Christ. You have your being, your existence in Christ. You'll never know who you are outside of Christ because you will conform to the world and the demons will dictate to you who you are. They'll tell you who you are, and if you accept it and when you accept it, you will act out the dictates of the demons. Outside of Christ, you got a bunch of schizophrenic people with 30,000 different personalities. That's why they had one way today and another way tomorrow. You can't put any weight down on them outside of Christ because they're schizophrenic by nature. Different demons manifesting at different times. So they're hither, thither, and yonder all the time, bouncing off the wall, changing every day. Never can know what personality you'll have on display today or tomorrow because the demons are flashing in, flashing out on you. And you are locking up on them, trying to understand them. I'm not trying to understand anybody. You better go vertical and know Christ and not base your relationship on mankind and people on their responses and interactions with you. You better just go vertical and treat everybody flatline the same. If folks can get to you, you know what your problem is? You got demons. You need to get rid of them. Because you're reacting to the demons that are actually doing what? What are they doing to you? Stimulating you. They know what they got in you. Jesus said the prince of this world comes and guess what? He's got nothing in me. The devil hates the fact that you're non-responsive to him. Unresponsive to him. Whatever he does, it don't make no difference. Why doesn't it make a difference? I read the back of the book. Just show it. Every time the devil does, just read this to him. You know, read. You know. And the beast and the false prophet and the Satan and Satan that deceived them all have their place in a lake of fire. That's your destiny, devil. You're damned as you stand there. You're going to burn in a lake of fire forever. It's so tragic, devil, what's going to happen to you, isn't it? He's going to get tired of you. Just keep reminding the devil of his future. Well, you might have knocked me down. I might have bumped my head, but guess what? In the last of the last days, the false prophet, the beast in you, will be in that sulfur pit. My head kind of hurt right now, but that sulfur pit is going to be real ugly. See, it doesn't matter. Nothing really matters that much. You are going to leave here. You are going to die. Have you made accommodations and have you have prepared yourself to leave here? Because as soon as that last breath is breathed, you're going to be standing before a judgment seat. You see, Derek Prince said this one time, and it could be possibly true. He said, since there's no time when you leave this body and die, you could just immediately wake up and be seeing the Lord return. Because, see, you'd have no conception of time. You could just die. And then the Lord is coming in the clouds in glory. The dead in Christ are rising first, you know. See, all that could be happening just in a twinkling of an eye. Because there's no time. You're in another dimension. Jesus. You might leave here and then stand in front of the judgment seat within milliseconds. They're opening books on you. Oh, yes. Let's see here. Omar, what's your last name? Fonseca. Let's see here. Is your name? Let's see here. Let's see. Federson, Fillmore, Frotson. Let's see. Oh, you said SFO, you say? Sir. That's when everybody like, oh Lord, no, please, wait, hold it, send me back. Send me back to earth. How much time did we waste? Jesus. We should have been getting ready to meet our maker. How much idle junk did we talk about? How many folk were we somewhere gossiping about and speaking all nasty stuff and trying to be caught up in them and worrying about other folk? And now you got to stand before your maker. He says, today your soul is required of you. It's terrifying. They get past your name and... Oh, excuse me, Gabriel, is this in alphabetical order here? I don't see the F-O. This is alphabetical, right? It's not, okay, sir, it is alphabetical, I'm sorry. You have to go to that line to the left. Well, hold on, I think it's been a mistake made. There's no mistakes in heaven, sir, none. This is not the Social Security office. Your name's not on the list. I sure hate it. Next, please. Where's your last name, sir? Murray. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Let's see here. Merlin. Let's see. That's M-O. Morrison. Let's see here. Morrison. Okay. Let's see here. Well, you say, how you spell that, sir? M-U-R-R-A-Y. Is that? Murray. Let's see here. Murray. What is this? How you pronounce that? Meyerson. M-Y-E-R-S-O-N. I mean, we never had it happen that the two people in a row, sir. And you're standing there. See, it sounds funny. And the books will be open. And you'll be judged for everything done in your mortal body. Every idle word will be brought into judgment. So why you calling folk all these names and stuff? When you so quick to cough, you're going to bring every idle word into judgment. You don't want to fool around with God. God is very, 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 very pinpoint specific about what he does. He crosses every T, he dots every I. You can't be perfect, but perfection is your goal. Because you stand there looking at eyes that look like flaming fire. Pure white, light illuminating from emanating from a person. Ain't looking you in your eyes. You can't lie. Your name not on the list.
Jesus.
Is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life? That's all that matters. And to get it written there, you must conquer inner space. Well, all these folk talking and theorizing and hypothesizing and coming up with all this discussion, is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life? You can imagine what you want to. It's going to be a terrifying day when you're really standing there. Nobody around but you. And every man is going to answer one-on-one for what they did. No groups, no herds, no church memberships, no pastor to blame, nobody that told you something that you believed and you got deceived. You did it. And you will answer for what you did in your mortal body. You will answer for every idle word. He says every idle word will be brought into judgment. You know what you start doing? You start shutting your mouth. What do you think? I don't know nothing about it. I don't know. You start humming glory songs. Why you start humming when I'm talking to you? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. When the saints go marching in, and when the saints, you know, you act like you crazy. I don't want to get into that mess. I'm not talking about that mess. It's none of my business. It has nothing to do with me. Every idle word is brought into judgment. Let your tongue magnify the Lord. The Bible tells us in James it's an unruly member. You can't control the thing. It's like the rudder of a ship directing your whole life. That's why your words become few. I just thought I'd throw that in there, no charge. Okay, here we go. What is the soul? A vehicle of expression. It houses the will, the emotions, the feelings, the intellect, the reasoning, the thinking, analysis, conclusions. What's the common denominator about all those parameters? None of them are physical. So the soul is an esoteric region. It's not on the physical plane. You can't see the soul. But you feel the ramifications of having one. How do you fall in love with somebody? Your feelings are engaged. Your emotions are engaged. Things are happening to you that you can't really explain. Out of all the people in the world, why did you love this person and marry them? Nobody can really explain that. Why? It's supernatural. It's all supernatural. You can't explain a supernatural thing. The world tries to tell you they were my soulmate. Yeah. What does that mean? It means you don't know what you're talking about. And you had to call it something. The soul is an esoteric, supernatural, metaphysical region. Thoughts, how you think, has been programmed into you supernaturally. You don't even know why you think like you think. You don't know the environmental circumstances in your life, in a home, your interaction with your mother and your father and your siblings. Other people you met along the trail have been used to shape your thinking, how you view things, who you trust, who you mistrust, where you feel comfortable and where you feel uncomfortable, why you tend to lean toward and associate with different kinds of people over and above others. All that soul is programming. You've been programmed to be a homosexual, you'll feel comfortable around homosexuals. If you're programmed to be a lesbian, you'll feel comfortable around lesbians. If you don't like men, you hate them. You'll feel comfortable around women that hate men. That's a soulless program running. That's what God has to divest us of through what? Transformation of the mind. The mind has been driven into some kind of a perverted state through demonic soulless programming, and you got to have your mind renewed. Outside of getting rid of the demons, now you need your mind refabricated. You need your mind renewed. You need your mind restored. You need your mind, what the Bible calls, metamorphosized. The renewing of your mind, the transformation of your mind. In the Greek, the word is metamorpho. You got to have your mind metamorphosized, the same thing a caterpillar goes through. You've been an earthbound, hairy, crawling caterpillar, and now you got to be metamorphosized to become an airborne butterfly that's beautiful and full of color. You think too low down. You think too earthly. You're bound to this world. You only talk about trash from down here. Man, God wants us airborne. Yes. He wants us to be reconditioned to put on the colors of a butterfly, to fly into a beautiful state of acceptance in Him and interaction with the Holy Ghost, so we can know Jesus. Jesus is not earthbound. Jesus is airborne. Read it for yourself. Isaiah chapter 40. You will lift up on wings like eagles. You'll fly high above this. But when you got an earth-centered, downcast, downgraded, degraded mind, all you can do is grovel around on earth and talk about other folks, their problems, situation, this trash. Man, lift your mind. Get your mind out of here. Mortify your members. Make them turn loose of you so you can get airborne. Yes. A beautiful airborne butterfly contrasted with a stinking, filthy, hairy caterpillar. He has to undergo metamorphosis. And guess what? The caterpillars can't fly with the butterflies because he don't even have wings. He don't have the color. He can't fit in. You think dirty, stink caterpillar thoughts when the church is thinking airborne, beautiful butterfly thoughts. You can't see this? The soul is designed by God to receive inputs from your spirit. From your spirit. Inputs from your spirit. And then you dictate outwardly from your soul to your environment. That's why it says, in your patience, from your spirit, take possession of your soul. So you dictate to it. What's a carnal man? He's been short-circuited. Spirit is dead. Guess what the carnal man does? He can't receive inputs from his spirit to his soul. So his five senses are inputting from the outside in to his soul, shaping his worldview and reality. That's what happened to every one of us. That's fallen man. You were forced to be what you were by inputs that came in from your environment to your soul and shaped your reality. You would have never, at 17, 18 years old, laid down with that guy unless you had been forged into that vessel by inputs through your soul. Because it's not normal for a woman to accept a guy into the innermost recesses of her being having sex with no commitment in marriage. You are totally abnormal. Something forged your mind to make you do that, and it goes against all logic, all normalcy, all decency. Something got a hold of you to make you into a whore. And the demons did it to you. They forged into you a vessel fit for them to use.
That's right.
And manipulated you into sexual filth because you accepted the inputs that came in from the outside through your five carnal senses. What five carnal senses? What you see, sight. What you heard, sound. What you smelled through your nostrils. What you tasted and what you touched. What you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you touch is forged in your soul. And what happens is the environment becomes your reality and you're ingrained in the matrix. See, whatever the environment says to you from the outside, that's your reality. Well, the Pope said it. Oprah said it. The president said it. I heard on the news. I was looking at The View, and you know they said, that's your reality. Notice how people do it all the time. They accept as fact what anybody says over TV. I was watching Fox News, and Shepard Smith said, that doesn't make it true. Bill O'Reilly said it. That don't make it true. Rush Limbaugh, I called in and told him the other day, ditto. Ditto, Rush. You become a Rush Limbaugh addict and believe everything he says. You're a ditto head, they call him. See, when you agree with Rush Limbaugh, you don't have to say hello when you call him. You just say, ditto. In other words, I agree with everything you say, Rush. I'm a devotee of what you say. Ditto. I copy. I'm with you. And people become proud about that. Let one of these guys come down to the Civic Center and put on a seminar. And watch how many people just pack in there because they want to identify with somebody. That's the spirit of Antichrist. You're a worldly person that's ingrained in somebody's personality and what they say, and you'll follow it without question. Let the Pope come to Atlanta. You can't drive down the street. Let him go to New York. You can't even get to New York. Now, you've been through 30 popes, one old man dying and replaced by another. What makes this new old man more significant than the last old man? Nothing. He's just a guy. You know what the Pope is, really? He's a guy in need of salvation. He needs to be born again. He don't know nothing about Jesus Christ, nothing about the church. He's just a guy hanging around needing to be born again. That's all he is. Now 1 billion Catholics are now looking at me. I'm a blasphemer. Now you think the devil don't have power. Think about what I'm saying now. Really stop for a minute and think about what I'm saying. An old guy with one foot in the grave needing somebody to bring the gospel to bear on his life to save his soul from a burning hell. And folks believe he's the vicar of Christ, the head of the church. And you must come through Rome to even get to God because he is the succession of Peter, who has the keys to the kingdom to let you and me in. That's what they really believe. And I say, oh, no, he's just a guy that needs to be born again. I respect him as an elderly guy. He's a nice elderly guy. You need to be saved, Mr. Pope or whatever, Mr. Francis or whatever you call yourself. You need to get saved. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Look at movies like The Road, Quo Vadis. That's a good one. Let me see another one. Demetrius and the Gladiator. Anywhere where they got Caesar. Ben-Hur is a real good one. Masala, how Masala talks about Ben-Hur. Judah. Rome is where the power is. Not this mess here. Rome. Join in with me, Judah. That's that spirit, man. That's that spirit of Antichrist. Yes, not this Jesus junk. Rome, the state. Man, you could be something. You could be somebody if you just kick in with me. That's the offer that Satan made to Jesus. So you just downgrade everything and look at it in reality. Well, he's an older guy needing salvation. And somebody caught up in it says you're a blasphemer. You would come against the man of God, the Pope of God, the Vicar of Christ. You would stand there and stand against the man that God has sent as our Savior on earth, the Pope. Kill him. That stuff will drive you into madness. And you're standing there like Barney Fife saying, Pope, you need to get saved, man. You need to get full. Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost since you believe, Pope? I haven't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. You can't pray to Mary. That's idolatry. Y'all stop that. Blasphemer. We're living. That's 1 billion people. The Muslims, 1 billion people. You almost got the population covered right there. Have you really processed what we're walking around in every day for real? Not to mention the make-believe Christians that are not even saved, trying to pretend they are, which is the majority of the church folk you deal with on a daily basis. The demons are locking this planet down. Down! And like I said, I'm checking this list in this book of life now. Have you come out from amongst them and touched not the unclean thing so I can receive you unto myself? That's going to be a major question. It must be answered by every person. You get either inputs to your soul from your spirit, if you're born again, telling your soul what to do, or you'll get inputs from your five senses telling your soul what to do with your spirit dead. That's the born again person and the person that's dead to God and alive to the world. That's the conflict. That's the contrast. That's where you get the agony and the turmoil. In church, you get it when one person is carnal and soulish and the other person is spiritual. A spiritual person and a soulish person will not be able to jive together. They won't be on the same wavelength. Two soulish people will conflict because they're into themselves and they're both so proud and arrogant that they won't abdicate to the other. Two spiritual people have no problems because I don't care about this stinking world and you don't either. You get conflict and contrast, somebody in the flesh. Got to be. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Because none of this junk down here means anything. It's not that hard. Well, Omega Ministries price, don't you think? I don't care nothing about no Omega Ministries. This is temporary. This junk going to go away with everything else. Amen. God don't care nothing about no Omega Ministries. I ain't studying this mess. Amen. Well, you're teaching every week, don't you? I don't care. Don't care about none of this. It don't matter. As soon as I die, I'll have no remembrance of any of this stuff here. And I'm on my way to dying every day. Folks actually believe there's some significance, some permanence to this. They value it and you don't even care. It's like a person that has a house and they don't care about it, but you do. They dress a certain way and she really thinks she's something. And she don't even care about the stinking clothes. She gives them away every month to somebody that, you know, could care less. It's bad when people project their values on you and make you care about what they care about and you don't even care. Because it's temporary. It can't bring you eternal life. The control center of the soul is the mind. It governs your thinking. The mind is also the central focus of your will. Your will and your mind are coupled together. What you think and will to do, you will do. The old saying in the world is what? Where there's a will, oh, you'll find a way. You don't believe it? Check your resume. When you wanted to go do some dirt, you found some kind of way to do it. My car broke down. Who can I call? Let me see. I call my aunt, get her car. I call my best girlfriend. She can give me a ride. Let me see. I call that guy used to sit next to in the 10th grade. Maybe he got a car. I got to get to this concert. I'm going to this concert. Now, how I go, I don't know. But at 8 o'clock, I'm going to be parked in that row yelling because I got to go. Now, how I go, I don't know. But I'm getting to this concert. You call a folk you don't even know. You're thumbing rides to get there. Where there's a will, you will find a way. All the dirt you willed to do, you did it. Why? Because it made me feel good. You driving down in some scumbag neighborhood to get a pack of dope, a bag of a $5 nickel bag of dope. Now you know you down here as a woman alone down here in the streets buying dope at night. Not even scared. Not even having no sense to be scared. Because all you were thinking about was what? I got to get high. They might shoot me over here. Or they could kill me, but that won't even cross your mind. Hey, Leroy up in here. Where Leroy at? The dope man. Oh, we up in an apartment, right? You getting out the car, going to some old stank apartments, and you don't know what's behind that door. It's like the price is right. Door number three, you don't know what's behind that door. All you know is, I want me some dope, and I'm going to get it. Where there's a will, you'll find a way. So the mind and thinking is the avenue in. You've got to get your mind turned over to the Holy Ghost to renovate it. That'll change your will. Let me say this about the mind. The mind is the control center for the soul. So therefore, the Bible puts it this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You should not be feeling emotions helter-skelter. Your spirit should be governing your emotions. Not the other way around, your emotions governing your spirit. Your spirit dictates to your soul. Your spirit governs your emotions. You know what a bad problem with people is? They try to feel love and not be it. And they'll tell you, brother, that's not love. What do you mean? Well, when you said that, I didn't feel love. I don't care if you felt love. I told you the truth. That's love. Jesus never appended feelings to love. If you love me, you do what? Obey my commandments. I didn't ask you to feel nothing. Obey what I told you to do. If you love me, obey me. That's totally foreign to a human's conception of love. Don't even understand it. Because love is a fruit of the spirit. It's not a feeling. You're not going to stay with your husband or wife for 30 or 40 years because you feel a certain way about them every day. Because you're going to feel a lot of different ways about your husband and wife from day to day. He getting on my last, you know what? He getting on my last nerve. See how the feelings can change? But that won't do anything about love because love is a constant. So feelings can go up and down. You don't want to be bothered today. You don't feel like talking to him today or talking to her today. You don't feel like doing what they want you to do today. But you sacrifice to do it anyway because they want to do it. Why do you do it? Because you love them. So you sacrifice up self. Love and selflessness is the same thing. It's not a feeling. I'm not sitting here in this chair feeling love for you. I'm obeying God and giving the word out, and that's it. I don't have to feel anything about it. But we are so trapped in feelings, especially you run into guys now that are so feeling and emotion centered, they can't even be men anymore. And they think that talking real soft and, you know, I was just weeping last night before the Lord, and I came in here today with a heavy heart for the body of Christ, and I feel so much love and compassion for you. And the love I have for you is just exuding from the very fabric of my being. The love I have for God and you as my people, as God's children. The love. Oh, the love. That joke of raping your daughter, stealing your money, breaking into your house. Every pope sounds very loving and tender. That's how they train to talk. Notice how they never raise their voice. They never get mad. They'll stop by the side of the road and a grotesque person, just all deformed, they'll kiss them on the forehead and pat them and just give them a papal blessing. And everybody, what a humble man. What a loving man. What a tender man. What a compassionate man. Not like those Omega ministry people. Full of hatred and vitriol and all this. They don't like people. No, man, hold it. Tell a person the truth, you love them. Want to see you make it into heaven, you love them. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But when you've been misprogrammed from the inside out by emotions, you'll marry the wrong person. You'll be going off with the guy that's got, that the devil sent to kill you because you feel something. Because your emotions led you to your grave. I was looking at a picture the other day on the internet of a girl that was beheaded by her boyfriend. Left right in the middle of a field with her head. Can't even find her head. Thinking he was my man. He loved me. And all along the trail planning to butcher her like an animal. You don't know what people have done. You don't know who's killed somebody. Anybody you meet for the first time, you don't know who they are, where they came from, what they'll do to you. You have no idea, but you're basing it on what they tell you and how they look to you at a particular time. That's why you need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes,
Lord. Because he'll speak to you in dreams and visions. He'll whisper in your ear to get away from them. And you don't even need to know why.
Amen.
Obey. Yes. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If he tells you to flee, flee. Before I got married to my wife, she was in a life-threatening situation, and the Holy Ghost told her, run. And that guy was trying to kill her. Would have killed her. And God sent a guy right there to stop that guy. And she ran right into the guy, a friend of hers, to stop this guy that was pursuing her to kill her. You never know where the devil lurks while you're down here in your feelings and emotions trying to feel something. And the devil has sent the executioner to end your life. And you're feeling some kind of emotion for your murderer.